You're about to embark upon a new sugya. The new sugya is really part of a general theme that we've been talking about already for the last several weeks, and that is the definition of ksiva. But particularly when we've been talking about the word mikasim, the definition of ksiva as it relates to a get, we've been highlighting time and time again that the word ksiva is not something that is unique to gittin. There's a concept of ksiva in terms of writing Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos. There's a concept of ksiva in terms of Molach HaShabbos, one of the Oseh Melachos being kosev. And the question that keeps on resurfacing is, what is the relationship between these different areas of Halacha ksiva? And this is a common kind of a theme. We spoke about this very several times. That, let's say, Lamashal has a bit of Bishul in Halacha. So does Bishul mean the same thing in Shabbos as it means in Mos Mecholov? There are halachas of Zoreya and Hilchos Shabbos, is that the same as it means in terms of Shemitah, in terms of Kilayim? So they're very similar kind of a lomdish question. We deal with a halachic term called Kosev, just how similar, how different are they? So it's this particular area that begins to present itself in terms of principle. It's called Ksav Agabi Ksav. So that is the name of our sugya, and it's actually a phrase that appears in Masechet Shabbos. It doesn't appear explicitly in Gittin, but it's alluded to in Masechet Gittin. The term is called Ksav Agabi Ksav. So what does that word, what do those words mean even, Ksav Agabi Ksav? It's important for us to know what the name of the sugya means. Well, actually, it's a machlokes, just even what the words itself mean. So the original context of Ksav Agabi Ksav is actually a Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos. But the Mishnah gives an example of a type of a quote-unquote writing that would be exempt on Shabbos, would be potter. And yeah, we've said many times, potter doesn't mean you're allowed to do it. Potter means potter aval osur mitrabanan. It's called ksav agav ksav. So what do the words mean? Literally, what does that mean to be kaisav agav kaisav? So the simple reading of the Bavli is that the word ksav agav ksav refers to putting ink on top of pre-existing ink. So here the words, gittin was already written. So a person on Shabbos takes a pen, a black pen, and makes it a little bit sharper, with a little bit more ink onto the word, onto the letter Gimel, a little bit more ink onto the letter Yud, etc. So he wrote the word Gittin, but not really, because the word Gittin was already written. So that's Ksav Agabi Ksav. That's the simple shot. Assuming that that's the correct shot, then the Gemara is going to elaborate. What if he changes a little bit? What if he adds a certain dimension with the second sound that wasn't present during the first sound? That's going to open up a whole new part of the sugya. But in terms of the translation of the words, ksav agabi ksav, that's what the Talmud Bavli is pretty clear what it means. There is a statement in the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi seems to have an entirely different picture as to the translation of that Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, ksav agabi ksav. The Yerushalmi seems to interpret that ksav agabi ksav doesn't refer to putting ink onto pre-existing ink, but rather it refers to the placing of the letters. Namely, we know that when you write Hebrew, so you write this way. You write English, you write that way. So the only two ways of writing letters that the halacha recognizes is called the tzir for osios, that the letters are connected to one another, not literally physically connected, but that there's a connection from one letter to the next, is that the letters are next to one another. If one writes going up, going down, and one writes vertically rather than horizontally, there's no connection. We don't read things going down. I know there are certain languages that actually do read going down, but the languages that the writing that Chazal were referring to, according to Rishami, is only if it goes in one direction, not if it goes up and down. And therefore, if a person decides to write the following, he's going to write the name Tzvi, but he's going to put the Tzadi on top, and he's going to write a Beis under the bottom, and you're about crossword puzzles only go across, they don't go down in halacha. So there's no shaykh, there's no tzir, there's no connection between the two letters. So the only time one is chayv and shavs, if one writes two letters, write a letter over here, and then you write another letter, there's no shaykh to that letter. So then one is not going to be chayv. That's what ksav agabi ksav. So the word agabi is quite a different meaning. Agabi doesn't mean one ink on top of another ink, it rather means a placing of one letter literally on top of, i.e. going down. We are not going to work with this interpretation of the Rishami. The Bavli is clearly not like this. And we have a general rule in halacha that whenever you have a machlekes, the Bavli and the Rishami, 99.9% of the time we follow the Bavli. riff in the end of the Masechet Eved quotes a tradition from the Gaonim that the reason why we followed the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, even though the Yerushalmi was written by the great Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan, early generations of Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, the later generations of Bavli had access to Yerushalmi. They knew what the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael said, and when they chose to disagree with them, so we followed the rule called Halakha Basurai. When the later generations knew what the early generations said, and they followed and they analyzed it, and then ultimately disagreed with them, so then the later generations are the ones that get the final word of the Psak Halacha. So we're going to work with the assumption that Ksav HaGavik Ksav means what we think it means in Talmud Bavli, but in the back of our mind, we may come back, we may circle back to Rishav at some points in the Sugya. So assuming that we have the translation of the words Ksav HaGavik Ksav, now we can begin to understand where the Gemara begins in Gittin on the first of the Marmakamos. The Gemara starts out with something that we spoke already about in the past. Itmar, the first of the Marmakamos, said, Mavid Diyoga Bisikha Bishamas. What if there was red ink on the paper and a person now puts black ink? So Sikha is red and Diyoga is black. He now places the black ink on top of the red ink. So we can really begin to understand what the question is. On the one hand, it's Ksav HaGavik Ksav. The red ink was legible beforehand, so it existed beforehand. So when you're simply adding on a second layer of ink, one can argue that's not a chiyuv, that's not a chayav in the Torah for writing on Shabbos. That's a classic Ksav HaGavik Ksav. What's the difference whether you add black to black, red to red, black to red? Really, it's all the same thing. It's all Ksav HaGavik Ksav. Well, maybe one can argue, that maybe you're actually chayav because unlike Ksav HaGavik Ksav, when you simply put black on top of black, you didn't really do anything. You didn't add anything here. You upped the ante. You definitely made a high quality of reading. It was red ink, as we've said already many times in the past, red ink was considered to be the inferior kind of ink in the days of Chazal. That's like the halacha, you can't use that for Sefer Torah, it's called mezuzah, etc. So black ink is considered to be a high quality ink. So when you went from red to black, it's not that you did nothing. You did do something. You didn't make a new letter, but you did do something. So that's the chiddush that the Gemara starts out with. Ma'avid yoga b'sikha b'shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan b'shalach shabbat shabbat. Chayev shtayim. You're actually chayev twice for that. Achas b'shum kaisiv, achas b'shum leichik. Once for writing, because your second ksav did register. And believe it or not, we get you twice because you're chayev b'shum leichik. Because by putting the black over the red, you made the red disappear. For all practical purposes, the red isn't legible anymore. So you erased red. So rather than being potter, you actually have two karbon chattises for what you did. So you see in this Gemara that although there's a rule called Ksav HaGavik Ksav, it's not an ironclad rule. There are situations where the second Ksav would potentially be Chayev, and the idea being you improved, you went from red to black. But now is where it starts to get a little bit tricky. So let's pick it up from the third line of the first of the Rabbah comes. And this is where Shabbos and Gittin begin to come into contact with one another. If Edim don't know how to sign their names, so we have a big problem. If you don't know how to sign your name and you're the only eight around, how can you do that? So what's the following question? Let us perhaps write with red ink in place of their name. So we'll write David ben Yaakov 8. We'll write that in our handwriting. That's not a chesima, that's not a signature. We'll write it in red ink, and then they'll write on top of it in black ink. So we understand where the Gemara is coming from, that maybe one could argue that although we write black ink and they just trace over more black ink, that's nothing. Ksav HaGavik Ksav is meaningless. Their signature doesn't count. But here, when they went from red to black, so just like in Hilchos Shabbos, we say going from red to black is significant, and you're chayav. So one can argue that the same is true in Hilchos Gittin. But going from red ink to black ink is called a chasima. So ksav elyon ksav o enoksav. Should we view the second ksav and the ksav as not? So I'm like enoksav. So Rabbi Yochanan responded, "It's not." I'm alone. I'll love the Tana Rabbeinu. So Shlokesh turned to Rabbi Yochanan and said, "Wait a second. You taught us ksav elyon ksav in Shabbos. That going from red to black is chayef for Shabbos." So Rabbi Yochanan responded in back some poetic, some dramatic way. Just because you think they're similar, we're going to act upon that. We have no idea what that means. All we know is that Rabbi Yochanan told himself he wasn't right. But we're not sure what in the world that means. So we're going to put that part of the Gemara on hold. We're going to pause for a little while. But the one thing that seems to be coming clear from the Gemara is that the sugyas of Ksav and Miksav are being addressed both in terms of Shabbos and in terms of Gittin, and we're trying to mix and match the two. And now we're running into a little bit of a problem. We're not sure, are they identical or not? So what we've extracted from that Gemara so far, a few important principles in terms of introduction to the sugya. The starting point is Ksav and Miksav is nothing. That's the Chayk L'Yav. Ksav and Miksav is zero. But that's not the ending point. But there's an exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is when you go up in quality, you go from red to black, so then we're talking a different language. Are we 100% sure that's true both for Shabbos and Gittin? So now we're backpedaling a little bit. So those are the three points we have to extract from our sugya. But now the Gemara goes on to a different angle, to a whole different part of the sugya. Where's the following Shabbos? Second of the Mamre Kamos. Gittin of Chafim and Av. Amr of Chizda. Get Shetosmo Shalom Shema. The Hever of Kulmus Lishma. Hire a sofer to come and write a get. The sofer is writing the entire get. And then all of a sudden he raises the gaval. I forgot to write the get Lishma. I didn't write the get for this woman. Either the sofer was sleeping, according to some Rishonim, he forgot to say Lishma. According to other Rishonim, you don't have to even say, you have to think it. Maybe he wasn't even thinking Lishma. He thought it was the other wife, not this wife. You know, yeah. Bottom line is, the get is not worth the paper that's written on right now. The get is written Shalom L'Shma, Mechosim L'Shma, Tosh Mepes says, a get must be done L'Shma. So here we have this piece of paper with this beautiful calligraphy, a get written on it, that's not worth a penny. There's a little bit of a paper shortage. So the Sefer says, you know, I got a great idea. Instead of ripping this up and starting on a new piece of paper, I'll go back to my inkwell, stick my feather back in the inkwell, and I'll rewrite on top of what I wrote. So Be'echem B'Shabbos, it already says the word Be'echem B'Shabbos. Takes that ink. L'shem, Gevish, L'shem, L'ish. This time he does it right. And he traces over the base, Be'echem, over the Aleph, over every single letter meticulously. So now the first writing of the get was Pasul Min HaTorah. The Gemara wants to know, what's the status of the second writing? Can we be Ma'akshi? Can we salvage this get and say that the get is, in fact, second time around, the ink that was put on the paper the second time around was Lishma, and therefore that get would be good. So the Gemara goes down a whole path about a Machlokes, a Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan, about writing a Sefer Torah. We're going to hopefully come back to this part of the sugya as the sugya develops, but it's unclear for the Gemara what the halacha would be. So all the Rishonim say, what? It's unclear what the halacha should be. I'll tell you exactly what the halacha should be. It's Ksav HaKam Ksav. You didn't go from red to black. You went from black to dark. It went from red to red, from green to green. The color of the ink is identical. So you just simply rewrote over pre-existing letters. So everybody knows, Ksav HaGam Ksav is not called Ksav. Not only is Ksav HaGam Ksav not called Ksav for Chashavas, that's where the Mishnah appears, Ksav HaGam Ksav is not called Ksav for Chuzgitim as well. So it's inconceivable. What are you talking about? Rav Chizda is already second generation, third generation Amoraim. Rav Chizda comes Baruch Abu with Mila Bavel and says, oh, by the way, I have a get that's written in black, and I rewrite it, the Shema, in black. It could be that it's kosher. Rabbi Huda's not the Zoyim, Rabbi Huda's the Zoyim, maybe it is, maybe it's not. I have a whole sugya, five lines, and the Rishonim say, wait a second, let's stop. Healthy Mark is down on the plane. Stop. Agam Ksav is not Ksav. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Masechta Shabbos, Ksav, Agam Ksav is Potter. What is the Gemara talking about? Why is the Gemara even treating? Why is the Gemara even discussing this possibility of salvaging this get? What happened to Ksav HaGav Ksav? So, if you remember what we just said a few minutes ago, according to the Rishalmi, maybe that wouldn't be a question. Because according to the Rishalmi, there actually is no Mishnah that says what we think Ksav HaGav Ksav and Ksav means. According to the Rishalmi, all the Mishnah meant was, if you write vertically, so that's not called Kaisev. There's no Mishnah that talks about putting ink on top of ink. So according to the Rishalmi, this Gemara would read like a charm. The problem is, that's probably the last thing we want to do. We want to make a Talmud Bavli read like Rishalmi. We just said that the Talmud Bavli, all the Chachmei Bavli outvoted that Rishalmi. That Rishalmi is long gone. We assume that the Taich, that the Pshat of the Mishnah, the simple reading of the Mishnah Shabbos, the Ksav HaGam Ksav is nothing. It's not talking about writing vertically. It's talking about putting ink on pre-existing ink. So the Nidon for us to assume that is the emphasis of Pshat in the Mishnah. So Rav Chizda sticks out now. What's Rav Chizda talking about? What are the Amoraim, third generation Amoraim, 100 years after the Mishnah is sealed, waking up, Baruch Hu, here we are, let's discuss. writing a get on top of a pre-existing get. It's Gornish. The first writing was Gornish was nothing because it wasn't Lishma. The second writing is Gornish because it's Ksav Agav Ksav is Nishke Ksav. So the whole get. I think we have a klal in Yiddish. Gornish plus Gornish equals Gornish. 0 + 0 = 0. The first gets Balsal, the second gets Balsal. So the woman's butt in Ishizish, remains in Ishizish. So we don't understand what klal was going. So obviously, there's a piece of information that we're missing when we look at this Gemara. Obviously, there's something that Rav Chisda was thinking about that's going to change the equation. Rav Chisda was not willing to just discount this get, just discard the get, basic Ksav Agav Ksav. So we already have an inkling of the secret back to the first Rambam comes. Remember, we started off the sugya by saying, Ksav Agav Ksav is nothing, is meaningless, is worthless, is zero, is not worth it, anything. But if you go from red to black, that's a different story. Why going from red to black a different story? Because Ksav Agav Ksav is meaningless because you basically diminish it. What you what did the Baisa add? It was there, now it's Baita there. It's a little darker. It was red, it's Baita red. It was black, it's Baita black. It's the same thing. But by going from red to black, Chazal have taught us that when you add a characteristic, when you add a trait that wasn't there beforehand, when you perhaps improve, when you add something that wasn't quite there when you started, that's also the goal. That could be Ksav. It's possible that there is Ksav. So when do we look at Ksav Agav Ksav? We laugh at the second Ksav. We say, you're a Ksav, you're a Gordon. You've been around for 10 years already. What you're trying to accomplish is meaningless. That's true when in fact, what you're trying to accomplish is really meaningless. But when your second Ksiva is meaningful, when your second Ksiva is doing something, it's adding something that the first Ksiva didn't have, so then we're opening up the possibility that maybe the second Ksiva really is significant. Maybe the second Ksiva cannot be discounted just like that. The problem is we have to find what is it about the second Ksiva that's significant. So the only precedent that we have in Chazal is going in different colors. When you go from red to black, oh, that's so significant, that's choshev, that, because after all we know. Red is cheapy. That you couldn't write a Sefer Torah in red. Wow, that's the standard. That's the gold standard for writing. So when you go from red to black, so I understand you're adding, you're going up a notch. So I understand why that's called kosev. But here in the case of Rav Chisda, what are you adding exactly? You're going from black to black, going from red to red. So my highlight, what's the second ksiva adding? So comes Tosus and says that I'll tell you what the second ksiva is in. Let's take a look at the Tosus, the fourth of the Rav Kamos. Tosus says, let's take a look at the fourth line of the Tosus, the fourth of the Rav Kamos. Omer Ben Yitzchak. The Kamon Ba'adai Shiksav Arishon Hay Shalom Lishma. Shiksav Hashem Yosel Lishma. Choshev Ksav. Says the Tosafot tell you exactly what the second kosev has that the first doesn't have. It was written in the Shema. Namely, it has a halachic improvement. So Tosafot now just made that leap of faith. We thought until now, what does it mean to improve the first Ksav? What does it mean to go up a notch in Ksav? That's in the physical world. When you ask the scribes, you ask the calligraphers, is black the same as red? They'll tell you, oh, red is a cheap you got in Ksav, and black is a very, very expensive, a high-quality Ksav. So that I understand is called the second Ksav. Mm-hmm. Here, we're not asking the scribes. We're asking the Beis Medrash. We're asking the Lamdonim. We're saying, well, tell me, it says Be'echad B'Shabbos, and now it says in the same column Be'echad B'Shabbos, is that identical or is that adding a characteristic? So the answer is, what do you mean? That's a tremendous characteristic. The first time it was written Shalom Lishma, so halachically it couldn't serve as a get. The second time, when it's adding the dimension of Lishma, the characteristic of Lishma is considered to be enough of a characteristic to put you over the top. You're going to be Chayav and Shabbos for that. That's going to be a kosher get. Because the second characteristic is, the second Ksav has a characteristic that the first one doesn't have. So Tosafot has made a tremendous, tremendous jump in terms of defining characteristics. We've spoken about this many, many times in halacha. It's going to be a strange thing I'm going to say. Does halacha depend upon halacha or not? Namely, we have like a halacha on Shabbos. It's you only chayiv if you do the following action. If you're misaking something, if I fix something, so if I take a table that's missing a leg and I screw it in, so that's called makom patshen Shabbos. It was broken and I fixed it. What if something is not physically broken? It's halachically broken. I have a pot. The pot is, the handle is screwed on perfectly. The pot is usable, doesn't have a hole in it. Everything's beautiful, wonderful, except that the pot wasn't toggled yet. And if I don't tovel the pot, I'm not supposed to use it. So I go in and I tovel the pot. So would you say, you just fixed a broken pot? Or should I say, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. I mean, it's not broken. To determine whether something was fixed, whether something was accomplished with the Shabbos, you don't ask in the world of the base benders. You go to the world of the pot makers. You go to the world of the goyim, and you ask them, is this pot broken? Is this table broken? If they can't answer in the affirmative, that's not called broken in halacha. So there's a similar kind of concept here, that in order to make the second kosev chayav, you have to be adding something, you have to be accomplishing something, you have to be adding a characteristic that the first kosev didn't have. So in the case of the Gemara, when you went from red to black, is any goyish scribe, they'll tell you, red to black, that's great, that's an unbelievable accomplishment. You ask a goyish scribe, I went from the following, I went from the words, Be'echa B'Shav is written without Lishma, and now Baruch Hashem, Be'echa B'Shav is written Lishma. You know what the response from the world class calligrapher is? Lishma, never heard that one. So Tosus is a big job. Tosus is a leap of faith. Tosus is saying, it's also called a tikkun. It's also called a change. It's also called an accomplishment. And that's enough to tip the balance to be called the second ksav being called the ksav. So Tosus says, that's what the sugya is talking about. So now we have basically three principles. Everyone agrees ksav agav ksav is nothing. Everyone seems to agree when you go up physically and you change characteristic, the second ksav becomes significant. And now Tosus is bechadish that if you change characteristics, albeit in the halachic universe, potentially that may also be called significant. So this Tosas is quite a chiddush, quite a jump, this Tosas. But if you don't select this Tosas, and you don't want to fall back into Rishalmi, so then we have Rav Chizda's whole sugya, so a thumb. So how could the Gemara be discussing what happened to Ksav Agav Ksav?
But Tosas is still, it's not even there. It's not even like that. It's not an enhancement. It's the original writing.
It doesn't exist. Right. So it's true. The reason why it's not there because you're a halach, you come to Shurim. So in your mind, it's not there. But you ask the average guy in the street, is it there? Of course it's there. What's the difference between the first writing and second writing?
It's the same
subject as Shurim. So it's a similar. So there's an underlying theme in many, many areas of halacha about how much does halacha take into consideration, you know, the halachic universe, and how much is halacha response to the real, quote unquote, the real world, you know, the world that we're seeing right now. I remember years ago, I was learning Jeremy Avner, and I came back one time, one's man for Sukkot. I got like a few months before, and I came back for Sukkot. So I just spent the entire Chodesh Elul in Yeshiva, and the whole Rosh Hashanah, and Smechuv, and Kippur. Like my Elul Yeh literally is a Ruchnius. I remember I flew back to, I remember, landed at JFK, and one of the non-Jewish guys was, you know, one of the security guys. So how do Yeshiva Gochim come, you know, starry-eyed, you know, right off Yom Kippur coming for plane. So Rebbe said, fellas, welcome to the real world. That was his lashon. So I remember thinking at the time, if the real world is the world of, you know, passport inspections and border control and JFK, we're in a lot of trouble. I said, we were the real world. This is the ulama. This is the fake world. So that's the question. That's the question of halacha also. Is the real world, in terms of being Kaveya Hilcha Shabbos, is the real world the halachic universe, or is the real world fixing pots and fixing tables and writing letters, etc.? So is it the identical question? I'm not sure. It's similar. There is definitely a spillover, but these different kinds of, so it's a common theme in halacha. How much does the halachic tikkunim, you know, or halachic destruction, so to speak, in the case of Hezek, to take into consideration? But what can already sense that we see a chiddush is that to the degree of this toisus that someone's going to have something else to say. Some other rishonim get nervous about this because they say, no, this is not really true. You're going from shalom lishma to lishma, that's going to make you chayv and shabbos, that's going to make you get kosher. That sounds a little bit much. So the Ramban, in the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, poses this question and quotes an answer to the name of the Rashbam. So Rashbam is from the early, early Balei Tosfos. So Rashbam is Rabbeinu Tam's older brother. He's talking about literally like second generation of Balei Tosfos. So the Ramban, in the fifth and Ramban Gomes, quotes from the Rashbam, at the end of the fourth line, prior to Rabbeinu Shmuel Zal Mirum Ragi. That was the name of the town that Rashbam lived in. The Hochok Sheksav Yavesh Lohanu Maisav. The Hosom of Yudek Shedainu Lach. The Hosom Sheksav Lach Savu. Rashbam says as follows, that La'olam Ksav agav ksav is not going to do a trick. If the first ksav is black and the second ksav is black, garnish, nothing. Nothing's going to change. That's not called ksav. Forget that called ksav. It's absolutely nothing. But says the Rashbam, the entire discussion of Rav Chizda about fixing up the get means that the sofer wrote the get and the letters are still wet. The ink hasn't dried yet. Oh, wait a second. The ink hasn't dried yet. So it's not chal yet as a shem ksav. So the first ksav wasn't teifes. The first ksav wasn't complete yet. Now you want to fix it. You want to add more ink to the wet ink? That we can negotiate. That we can discuss. That could be, that's called the ksav. Once the ink is dried, the game is over. Unless you're going from red to black, there's nothing to talk about. It says in Reshbam, if you're going from wet black to enhance the black, that's still considered, there's still enough time left to salvage that first sound. So this is an idea that we already mentioned this in passing in the previous sugya. And when does ink become halachically called ksavanat? So remember, there was a Mordechai that said, a big chiddush. Mordechai seemed to say that if a person writes a get and the letters are still wet and you hand it to your wife while it's still wet, it could be that's not a get. It could be that get is no good. Because it could be that gets not called sivia. And because it's so easily removed, that the ink hasn't even dried. You just take a tissue and just wipe it right off. That's not tofis at the shame kaysev. So that's what the Rashbam seems to be saying here as well. That ksavagam ksav is no good. But that's presupposing the first ksav is tofis. It's already chal. Chosman, the ink is wet. It's not considered to be ksav in the first place. So you may remember back a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned that the Mechas Chinuch had a fascinating insight based on that Mordechai. Mechas Chinuch argued that, wait a second, if you're going to tell me that writing in wet ink is not really chal, what if a guy writes a minute before Shkia, Shabbos afternoon, as he's going down to Shal Shudas, Shkia is at 7, 2 minutes to 7, he writes his name in wet ink, and the ink doesn't dry for another half hour, so after Shabbos is over. So says the Mechas Chinuch, I'm not even sure that he's chayav for writing in Shabbos, because we already spoke about this. There are some halachas that if you do the maisa now, and the chalo, so to speak, the conclusion happens after Shabbos, maybe a potter, and some halachas out the way. So it's in a marshal, we mentioned that Melech Zoreya, I plant a seed, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Shabbos, Hazor B'dinim Rik Torah, they say, L'asad Lavo, V'nigash Chamesh B'Kotzer, so L'asad Lavo, people are going to plant in the morning, they're going to harvest in the afternoon. But we haven't yet quite reached that point. So you're going to plant at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, forget about harvesting. It's not even going to take root until a week or two from now. So the Gemara says, Yisrael Chayim, Yichayim for Zerea. So Samach Rahim said, you see from here that anytime you do a Malacha Shabbos, if you did your Maisa now, it doesn't matter when the Chalos, when the conclusion happens, you're going to be Chayim. And other Acharonim said, nah, come on, that's Zerea. Zerea is different. That's the Yotzim Nekval. That was a big Machlekes Acharonim. If a person takes a pot of raw, you know, Rachel puts it onto the fire a minute before Shabbos is over, and it doesn't finish till Malav Malchut time. So some Achram say, Yechayim, you put it on the fire on Shabbos. Another Achram say, but it didn't cook on Shabbos. It cooked on 12 o'clock at night after Shabbos is over. So Mechas Chinuch was assuming that if you put wet ink onto the paper and it doesn't dry for after Shabbos, maybe you're going to be potter. So this is supported by the Rashbam. This is the same idea as the Rashbam, that wet ink is not really considered to be ink in the first place. So the Rishonim have a lot of trouble with this Rashbam. One of the big problems that they have with the Rashbam is the Gemara Masechet Gittin. The Gemara talks about that was a Sofer who wrote a Sefer Torah, a beautiful Sefer Torah, $100,000 Sefer Torah. Once more, he forgot when he wrote the Shemus for Kadosh Baruch, he forgot to say the Shem Kedushas Hashem. The thing is, you have to remember Kadosh the Shemus every time he write a Shemus. He forgot. He missed that day in Safra school. He's supposed to be a Shem Hashem. So now they had a beautiful Sefer Torah. What are you going to do with it? So the Gemara talks about the possibility that maybe we could rewrite over each Shem Hashem and be re-Makadosh again. So the Gemara says, maybe, yeah, maybe no. And the Gemara discusses about the get, the Shema, whole story. So the Ramban asks them, the Rashbam, he says, I said, according to you, Rashbam, that the only wild possibility of rewriting something as being valid is if the ink is, the original ink is already, is still wet. I understand. The Sefer Torah is over already. So you tell me the Shem Hashem from Parshas Bereishis is still wet? the Shem Hashem from 100 columns before is still wet? I mean, how fast did you write the Sefer Torah? Obviously, some of the Shem is already dried. So how in the world could the Gemara be discussing that you rewrite of the Shem Hashem? According to you, Rashbam, you can only rewrite of something that's wet. Clearly, the original Shem is not wet anymore. So obviously, that's not the factor. But Ramban says he doesn't know what to do with the Rashbam. Rashbam is a pellet against the Gemara. It's not a very, very strong question against the Rashbam. But a whole point of Bein Lefi Rashbam and Lefi Tosfos, we see that the Rishonim are in a lot of pain in the sugya because the starting point of the sugya is Ksavagam Ksav is meaningless. And now all of a sudden, we're revisiting and saying, maybe not. Maybe it is meaningful. So what is the case? So Rashbam says, you're going on wet ink. That's the case. And Tosfos said, no, what you're doing is you're improving. You're going down the route of Lishma. That's the improvement. So hopefully tomorrow we have to see where the sugya is going to take us. What are some of the potential nafkaminas of this discussion about rewriting it, not rewriting. The starting point is it's no good. Sometimes it may be good. Is any of that going to be relevant for us in terms of the mice? I can show them tomorrow.
Okay, so the same time,
which take off can. Yes, we can't show the changes.